We're going to get all hooked up here. The title of my teaching this morning is Perfect Peace. John 14:27, there's a record of Jesus Christ making a statement. And he says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world gives, give I unto you." I'd like to say that being a Christian does not guarantee a trouble-free life. In fact, there are many things in all of our lives that don't work out exactly as we would want them to. But we have to remember that Jesus Christ overcame the world. The Amplified Version of John 14:27 says, "Peace I leave with you, my own peace I now give and bequeath to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you." If you take your Bibles and flip over a chapter, John chapter 16, verse 33. "These things have I spoken, and I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer." And that's not always with champagne. "I have overcome the world." I love the Amplified here. It says, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have perfect peace and confidence. In the world you have tribulation and trials and distress and frustration." Amen? "But be of good cheer. Take courage. Be confident. Be certain. Undaunted. I have overcome the world. I have deprived it of power to harm you and have conquered it for you and on your behalf." Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'll tell you what. We are promised a life of peace. And we can have it. And we do have it. I don't care what is going on. Now, I would probably say that I, for the most part, appear to be a fairly peaceful person. A lot of people would say, how come you're always so peaceful and just like nothing ever seems to shake you? One of the funniest incidences I can remember is we had a boat we shared with a partner a number of years ago, beautiful sport fishing boat, twin diesels, 30-foot, did a lot of offshore trips. But this gentleman and I were traveling from the Konankai Marina to the Pearson Fuel Dock. And on the way back to the slip, I noticed there was smoke that was coming out of the engine compartment. And so I opened the engine compartment, and the engine was literally on fire. And he was up there driving his boat. He had his back turned totally to me. I just went, hey, Will, you know what, man? The engine's on fire here. And he's like, "I can't believe you're talking so, you know." It was just the way I was. But anyway, we got it taken care of. It's just a silly example. But you know, we all face these things in life that would cause us to have something that is really contrary to what God would have for His people. Wow. Look in John 14. We're right here again. Later, he would joke about it. He said, "I can't believe you were so calm about that." He said, "I would have been totally freaking out about that." It's like, well, what can I do? John 14, verse 1 says, "Let not your heart be what? Troubled. You believe in God? Believe also in me." According to Romans 15, 13, which we'll look at in a sec, God wants us to actually overflow with peace. Overflow with peace. Let's read it. Romans 15. The Bible is full of practical things that we can put into realities in our life. Because I'm not sure about you, but I'd be the first one to say that I am not always peaceful. I at times would have things that come up in my life that would cause things like worry, and especially this big one, the big A word, anxiety. Anxiety is not a good thing to have to deal with in our lives, is it, everyone? No. And we know that from experience, because we've been there. There's a multitude of circumstances and all these things are going on, and all of a sudden we're just tied up. We're in knots. We can't even function because we're anxious. See, really something. Romans 15:13. And that's what I love about God and God's Word. It's so practical. See, so practical for us. It says, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost." Peace is not something we strive to attain in our lives. And by the way, just to put the political viewpoint to rest, there will never, probably ever be world peace. I'm sorry. See, the real peace comes as a result of having a relationship with the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ. He is the bridge that spans the chasm between man and God. He is the one who reconciles man back to God, where we can be led into those new pastures where peace and joy and these wonderful, abundant truths spiritually are ours just for the taking. So it's always so good to remember that we do not do something and then achieve to receive peace. Rather, the things of God are appropriated to us by simply believing. Our great quest is in spending time getting to know Him, getting to know God, and learning to trust His lead with childlike confidence so that we will be led to that place of quietness and rest. Oh, believe me, there are so many other distractions out there in this world that would keep you away from a lifestyle like that. But isn't this like just making you want to take a deep breath and like, yeah, I know that that's there. See, like Psalm 23 talks about, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He causes me to lie down in green pastures." Wow. Look in Proverbs chapter 12. Proverbs chapter 12. Kind of like the song that we were singing there, the refrain on that song. "My chains are gone. I've been set free." But man, how easy it is for us to want to just carry all the burdens of all these things upon our shoulders. You know what? It's like Proverbs 12 talks about here in verse 25. "Heaviness in the heart of a man makes it stoop, but a good word makes it glad." Have you ever carried burdens on your shoulders? Somehow it just causes you to, oh man, life is such a burden. It becomes a burden. See. You know what? Anxiety brings heaviness to a person's life. It weighs them down. The dictionary describes anxiety as a state of uneasiness or worry. It is abnormal fear that lacks a specific cause. That's something. Proverbs chapter 15. Anxiety and worry really is spending a lot of time either in the past or in the future. The truth is, you're in neither place right now. Okay? The past is gone. The future is somewhere other, some other time. But you are in the reality of today. So, you know, the common sense and biblical approach to living life is, let's just live today. And everything that today has for it, rather than worrying about what's going on in the past or what's going to happen in the future. The reality is, you have no control over it anyway. So, why stay there, really? Proverbs chapter 15, verse 15, it says, all the days of the afflicted are evil, but he that has a merry heart has a what? A continual feast. A continual feast. See? Again, the Amplified says, all the days of the desponding and afflicted are made evil by anxious thoughts and forebodings. But he who has a glad heart has a continual feast regardless of circumstances. The nature of this world is to think that if you're kind of on this negative roll, that nothing ever will work out for you. And you kind of fall into this thing of, why me? Why have I been the chosen one to have to endure this particular set of circumstances? See, we got to work with our minds. Because actually, this is where a lot of the walk takes place spiritually. Right up here. See, what will we allow ourselves to think about? Joyce Myers wrote a great book, didn't she? On the battlefield of the mind. Battlefield of the mind. See. Go back to that John 14:27. Because there's got to be an answer. There's got to be an answer to it. And I'm going to give you an answer. Okay? I'm not going to just leave you hanging out there for you to have to go out and try and figure out what is it. Okay? Because what if you get agitated? What if you get upset? What if you get worried? And as a human being, I know that that happens to all of us. Life is intense at times. See? And if you have a tendency to be more of an intense person than a kind of a lighthearted person, then you probably are dealing with more anxiety than somebody who's just kind of la-di-da. You know, they're just very lighthearted in general. See? That's why a lot of very intense men are with very lighthearted women, you know, or vice versa, because they kind of balance each other out. Now, maybe you have no idea what I'm talking about, but if you do, then we'll just go with it. John 14:27. We started with this verse. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Peace I leave with you. My own peace I now give and bequeath to you. Not as the world gives, do I give unto you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. In other words, stop allowing yourselves to be agitated and disturbed. And do not permit yourselves to be fearful, intimidated, and cowardly and unsettled. You know what the answer really is? It's really simple in some ways. Stop. Stop. Just like Jesus said on the storm on the sea. Remember? He was sleeping in the back of the boat. The waves are crashing over the boat. The boat's rocking. The disciples are totally like agitated, probably quite anxious at that point, very worried for their lives. They go back. He's asleep on the end of the boat. They wake him up. They say, Master, don't you care that our lives are in the... We're going to die here. You know what he does? He gets up and he speaks to the ocean. And the first thing he said, which is not in the Greek text, is, stop! Peace, be still. He took control of the situation. Sounds like our lives. The storms of lives are raging sea sometimes. It looks like there's no other option than just to drown in it. But there is. It's called stop. Stop it. And here's the other one. Lighten up. Stop it and lighten up, please. Don't be so intense. It's a real fine art to learn how to enjoy life. Oh, but you don't know. There are certain things that push my buttons. And man, once those buttons get pushed, I am just like off like a rocket. Okay? It's a real art to learn how to live life and to really enjoy it with the ups and downs of all the circumstances, because I'm here to tell you right now, everything in your life is not going to work out exactly the way you think it should. See, for some of you, you'd be sitting down at the beach right now having a margarita or whatever. I don't know. It just isn't like that. But in John 10:10, familiar verse of Scripture. John 10:10, many of us could quote it. It says, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come," Jesus Christ says, "that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." More abundantly, might have life. That life is the Greek word Zoe, means life in all its fullness, in every category. See? Every category. I know Jan told a funny little joke there at the beginning of the meeting. She tried really hard. It was cute. Yeah. But it's a good point. I'm glad you brought it up. Because a lot of times what Christians need to do is learn how to lighten up, relax, enjoy their lives, laugh. Laugh. Laughter is an expression of the joy that's really in our hearts. And believe it or not, it really helps to resolve the anxiety and the worry and all this other stuff that gets all jumbled up. See. Really something. That's what Jesus Christ said. He said, "Be of good cheer," didn't he? It's like, hey, don't be so intense about every little thing that happens, okay? Lighten up, man. Relax. Enjoy your life. You're in a relationship with God. Jesus Christ has paid the price for your eternal salvation. There's a lot of other things to focus on other than, you know, what we determine and then somehow ends up getting, well, it's like saying, you know, we turn a little anthill into a nuclear bomb. And really, it's just out of perspective in our minds. 1 Peter, a little bit further back in your Bible. Did I mention the title of this teaching? It's called Perfect Peace. Perfect Peace. I want that. And sometimes I just see it floating away. And although I may look peaceful at times, I could be really very anxious. And I do get anxious at times. And so I have to work with myself and my own mind to just say, stop. Don't allow yourself to keep thinking and going down this road, because it's not good. 1 Peter chapter 3. And in verse 4, it says, "But let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and a quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. A gentle and a peaceful spirit, which is not anxious or all wrought up, is very precious in the sight of God." When we're unpeaceful, when we're worried, when we're anxious, when we're all disturbed and negative and freaked out and all these other things are going on, it's very difficult to hear from God. It really is. Very, very difficult. You know, the real purpose behind anxiety is to get us all tense. It's to get us all tied up in a knot, upset, disturbed, disquieted, worried, distracted. You know what? If we succumb to this lifestyle, then we are kept from focusing on enjoying the good things that God has really given to us, and we will not enjoy our relationship with God and Jesus Christ's promised abundant life. Oh, we'll be saved. How about the life we're living? Is it here to enjoy and to have the benefit of it? So we must, if necessary, we got to really learn to lighten up. We got to learn to relax. And so for some of us, it's learning how to do that. Some of us relax easier than others. Some of us do not. Some of us don't know how to do it. It's a learning process, see. But we have to be able to let things go. Let things go. Especially when things don't work out exactly as planned. You know what? It's not the end of the world. It's not the end of the world. Psalm 118. Psalm 118. Believe me, I'm teaching myself this morning as much as I'm teaching you. Because these are unending truths that we all continually are working through and working with. Psalm 118:24. Remember what I said about the past and the future? This verse right here says, "This is the day. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will what? Rejoice. Rejoice and be glad in it." Well, I can't think of anything to be so happy about. Darn it. Well, you know what? Stop thinking that way. There is something to rejoice in. See? There is something to be thankful about. We learn to cast our cares to God. Look in Philippians chapter 4. Many of us have read this. If you've been around in God's Word, or even if this is your first exposure to these verses of Scripture, it's still as practical as it is to somebody who's been practicing it for 20 years. Because those who are practicing it for 20 years are still practicing it. See? Philippians chapter 4, verse 4 says, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And again I say, rejoice. "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." There's some great practical truths here. What this is saying is, do not fret or have anxiety about anything. Now, this is the Bible I'm reading. These aren't my words. "But in every circumstance and in everything, by prayer and by definite request with thanksgiving, continue to make your wants known to God. And God's peace shall be yours," verse 7. "That tranquil state of a soul assured of its salvation through Christ, and so fearing nothing from God and being content with its earthly lot of whatever sort it is, that peace, which transcends all understanding, shall garrison and mount guard over your hearts and minds in Jesus Christ." Now, the next time you find yourself in a spot, and maybe that's right this very second, a trying circumstance, a situation full of anxiety, full of doubt, full of worry about what may or may not happen, first of all, stop it. Stop. You're the one who has this mind up here. You can tell your mind what to think and what not to think. So you tell your mind, you have a conversation with your mind, because it's kind of weird, but you can do it. You tell your mind, quiet. Quiet. See, it's not your mind controlling you. It's you controlling your mind. You tell it what to say and think. It doesn't tell you. See. And then we learn to spend time with God and in His presence, in the midst, and learning to rejoice in the midst of trying circumstances, that is really a true characteristic of spiritual maturity. It really is. Learning how to rejoice, not in the circumstance, but through the circumstance, see? That we are not so focused and so controlled by the circumstance that we're in, that we can continue to remember to rejoice in the middle of it. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, I think Jan briefly touched about this, on this, and it's a great analogy, the one about the radioactive material and the piece of coal, how they're placed both in the same environment, then the piece of coal becomes radioactive. You take the material that originally was the source away, the coal continues to glow, now another piece of something is introduced, and that piece begins to glow. And then that piece is removed, and that piece is glowing on its own. The light of God's Word spreading all over. Me touching you, you touching another person, another person, another person, another... Something, huh? There was only one Jesus Christ alive on this earth. The reason, one of the reasons for sure that Jesus Christ died is so that birth could be given to many sons and daughters all over this earth. So that every time a person confesses with their mouth the Lord Jesus, believes in their heart God raised him from the dead, the Bible says you're saved. That's another way of saying you're made whole. See? And now Christ is present in that person. Well, there's Christ in Bob, Christ in Jeannie, Judy, Bethany, all these guys, everyone in this room who's fulfilled that, everywhere you are, Christ is present. Christ can be present in a lot more situations than he could as one person. See, that's the challenge many times for us, is because the enemy will set up these circumstances and situations to cause us to get distracted, anxious, worried, and just totally forget about who we really are and what we really represent in this world. Oh, it's a sly little trick. Let's just get them all caught up, all busy. Let's get them all busy and all this stuff. This, and pretty soon, you know what? You have no time left for God. You have no time left for God or God's Word because you're so busy. Well, you got to just stop. You got to stop and take the time and really realize that true joy comes from spending time in the presence of God. It's not coming from anywhere else. It's not coming from somewhere else. See. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, "But we all with open face beholding as in a glass," that's a mirror, "the glory of the Lord." We're changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. The perfect analogy was that one about the radioactive material. The coal had to be introduced into the environment with the radioactive material. Your life has to be introduced into the environment in the presence of God. And then you begin to really absorb and take on the characteristics of God that are manifested through the presence of Christ in each and every one of our lives. It's absolutely incredible. Because you could say by your own strength, "Well, I'm not a very compassionate person." Well, that may very well be true. But the nature of God in Christ is in you. And Christ was an extremely compassionate individual. Maybe the reality of that compassion would rise and flow out of you in a more meaningful and profitable way as we spent time in the presence of God's Word and the presence of God Himself. See, really something. Psalm chapter 16. Have you ever been anxious? Well, you don't have to answer that. If you're a human being, you've been anxious. Have you ever been worried? If you're a human being, you've been worried. Okay, because it's just something that every person alive on this planet has gone through one point in time or another. See, that doesn't make you any more or less of a person. See. It just means that we're continuing to grow and to learn how to do this thing better, and that there are answers. See? Psalm 16, verse 11. Says, Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures evermore. That's the truth of the word. We desire more peace to be manifested, or just to have the quality of peace in our lives. Peace and joy are very closely aligned together. It is so critical that we spend time in the presence of God. I don't mean going through religious services, you know, bowing at the right time, praying at the right time, doing this, doing that. Hey, you know what? The Pharisees were doing that, right? In Jesus' time, they were very strict, the letter of the law, you know. No drinking, no dancing, no smoking, no this. Always trying to control people's behavior. That's not the issue. The issue is really in developing the relationship with God and realizing more about who you really are as a child of God. Oh, that's so much better. You'll never get spiritual fruit by trying to control the flesh. Spiritual fruit is a byproduct of enjoying and benefiting from the relationship with God Almighty. That's actually what the word godliness means. It means developing and having a true and vital spiritual relationship with God. Religion is that's a man-made thing. See, a bunch of rules and regulations. The true heart of what Jesus Christ brought into this world was the ability for mankind to have a real, vital, true relationship with God. That's where real true joy comes from and real true peace. So, listen to this thing. True joy, it comes from seeking God's presence, not His presence. Think about it. Think about it. More people are interested in seeking the blessings of God than they are in seeking the blessor. They want God to work for them in getting them things. When exactly the opposite is true. Just seek the face of the Creator rather than looking to seeing what He's created. See, we seek God's presence, not what He can give to us. See. And you know what? We'll be more blessed, we'll be more peaceful if we determine to derive our joy and peace from God and His goodness rather than any type of external circumstances. Because external circumstances are very subject to change. There it is. Oh, man, it's just up and down and all over the place. You know, one day you're living your life and you're just blessed and everything, and a tornado blows through town and blows your house completely apart. My God, that's an external circumstance, wouldn't you think? Probably some of us know people whose lives have been radically changed by natural disasters. See, big key here is that we turn our face to seek the Lord and we give Him the cares and concerns of our lives. We rejoice in His goodness. We live with perfect peace. And we have a lifestyle of good cheer. We have a kind word, a good word to speak. See, that honestly, this world could never offer. It comes as a result of the relationship. So, Heavenly Father, thank You for this perfect peace, the joy that we can have, Father, that You're continuing to help us in learning how to lighten up, get rid of the stuff, cast it to You. We can't control it anyway. And, Father, You just are the miracle-working God. And I don't know how You do all this stuff, or I wouldn't even begin to know the whys and wherefores, but You give us simple instructions in Your Word. And Father, thank You that we can just very simply walk and believe and honor You, Father, and that we just are determined in our hearts today, right this second, to spend time in Your presence. Thank You for God's people here, for Your love and goodness and kindness and blessing over them. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Bless you. Amen.